First thing I want to do this morning is talk about the prayer sheet. And we need to remember Preacher Lasley. He got moved over to Kingsport to the Waters. And he's over there right now and trying to get some rehab. So, I'm sorry, Larry. They're not going to do it. Okay, well, Leroy told me I wasn't supposed to say that. Yes.
Is he hospice?
He's not in hospice that you know of. Right, Larry? Preacher Lasley. Okay. Okay, well, let's keep Preacher Lasley and Miss Lasley in our prayers. They need them very much right now. They're going through some hard times. And let's remember to pray for Sarah Cannon. Larry says that they're trying to get her either in Vanderbilt or the University of Tennessee at Knoxville, one of the two. And so Shirley and I visited with her on Friday, and she had told us about the same thing, Larry. So anyway, remember these. They're going through troubled waters right now, but God's good. He'll be with them. And we know that in his will and time that things will happen. So remember them. Also, I want to highlight the shut-in people. Miss Lisa Bennett did head up our Christmas baskets this year, and they have been delivered, all but a couple. I know Shirley and I still have two, and we're trying to get to those to give them out. So sometimes it's a little hard with doctor appointments and things like that they have to get these into their homes. So we'll hopefully do that tomorrow, the next day. But Lisa did a really, really good job on heading that up, and so we thank her for that. And all the shut-ins are pleased. We've received some phone calls and stuff. They're very happy with those baskets. Also, the cancer folks, I noticed Phil Deacons is not here, but we're praying for Debbie. She's not been doing well, so just keep her in your prayers and mind throughout the week. And also Bob Daniels and Sheila, we're still praying for them. They're having a hard time, so just remember that. Also, we very seldom say anything much about the unspokens, but we have, if you'll look on your sheet there, we've got five or six or so unspokens, and you know, we need to remember those just like we do the others. So pray for that. Okay. To go on about the announcements, we've got our, in the bulletin, you'll notice, read the Bible through in 1 year. There's some free schedules out here in the foyer. There's also some Bibles out there that are for purchase if you're looking for a special Bible to read through. So remember that. Also, we have our birthday offering for Jesus. It's going to be going through January this year, and we got some real good folks that are worthy that's going to be getting this money that'll be sent to them, and we just pray that will help them in their ministries where it's going. So remember that. We'd also like to say congratulations to the ETSU folks, the graduates. I think Mike Hubbard's son was in that, Nathan. And so some of these other folks, I don't know them, but congratulations to them. That's a big accomplishment.
Amen.
Do we have any visitors with us today? First time, second time, third time? I see a couple of gentlemen here. Y'all been with us before? Not been with us before? Okay. Well, it's good to have you with us today.
Amen.
Okay? Okay. All right. Things coming up. Let's remember Sunday, December the 22nd, the night of music is going to be. We'll look forward to that. And then also on Tuesday, December the 24th, we'll have our candlelight service. So you can look through the bulletin and see other things that I didn't go over. But what I'd like to do now is go to prayer. Yes, sir, Leroy.
Susie Gregory, she's still in a lot of pain in the hospital.
Yes. I think Shirley talked to her this week, and we're praying for her too. So we miss Miss Susie. So remember Susie Gregory. Is anybody else that has a prayer request? Yes, sir.
Janice Hall.
Janice Hall? Okay. Janice Hall, let's remember her. Okay. Okay. Is she still in the hospital? Okay. Janice Hall. All right. Let's remember to pray for her. And Carl Vaughn is not here today. He had surgery this week on Thursday, so I'm assuming that he was not able to come this morning. Okay, anyone else? Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day, and thank you for the privilege to pray. And God, we thank you that you do hear and answer our prayers, Lord. And we have a lot to talk about this morning, a lot of people that are needing prayer. We think about Preacher Lasley and Ms. Lasley. Dear God, we pray you'll be with Preacher, and would you help Ms. Lasley also as she tries to help him. Father, we pray, dear God, that you'll bless them according to your will. And then, Father, we think about others, this Ms. Hall that has had serious surgery. We pray for her. Pray, dear God, that you'll bless her. Sarah Cannon, Lord, pray that you'll let that situation happen, that she can get some understanding and knowledge of what's going on, and Father, they can help her. And then, Lord, we pray also for Carl Bond. Lord, we pray for Susie Gregory. Pray for others, dear Lord, that has been mentioned this morning. We pray, dear God, that you'll lift them up. And Lord, we miss them here among us, and we pray, God, that if it's your will, that you'll heal them and bring them back. Lord, we also pray this morning that you'll be with the service, be with Brother Philip as he comes and teaches to us. And then, Father, I pray for the 11 o'clock service, God, that you'll bless Pastor, Lord, that you'll give him strength and help and unction from heaven. And God, just thank you for loving us. We thank you for dying on the cross and shedding your precious blood for our sins, dear God. Thank you now, and we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Before I go any farther.
They've cut you off, brother.
They cut me off.
Your time's
up. Okay, I'm back on. Before we go any farther,
I have something.
Something here from the
Shut
class.
Up.
So we'd like to present this to Brother Philip.
How nice.
And God bless you. We appreciate.
You're very kind.
All that you do.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for teaching us and the
do
class.
Do I need to unwrap it right now?
Class, so you don't have to.
Okay.
What I did.
I appreciate that.
Is a gift card. And I did that because I didn't know what you liked and didn't like. And I didn't get a present, but I got
a gift card. I appreciate that.
Okay? And this is money that was taken up from the whole class.
That is so good.
And so God bless you. We appreciate
it. Where is the gift card to?
It's a Visa.
Oh, how wonderful.
Okay, you can spend anywhere you want to.
And I have had something on my mind. I'm going to buy it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Do you guys flip through Facebook? Well, I like the videos. And what's been popping up in mine is this giant, I don't know what you would call it. It's laminated. And at a glance, you can see the entire history of the Bible from Genesis all the way. And I don't know about you, but sometimes it's hard to keep different events in order. Do you ever find that? You know, like, when did Nehemiah do this? When did so-and-so do this? When was Job's life and all this stuff? And it's like, oh, that's so wonderful. And it'll take up half a wall, but I've been kind of wanting it, but it's been kind of expensive. And so I haven't given the money for it, but now I do. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. And I hope it'll make me a better minister to you. Keep things straight in my head about Bible stuff. And have you ever, by the way, I was talking about reading your Bible through, have you ever been frustrated with reading your Bible straight through in a year? I have. Now, I have read it through 40 some times, but if you're like me, I start reading and I thought, I need to think about this. And all of a sudden, my schedule's gone and I'm so far behind. And then you have to catch up. It's like, well, I've just wasted my time. Do you ever go through that cycle? And so I encourage you to read it through. And what we've kind of started doing is if it's interesting and I need to think about that, I highlight it or I write it down, and then I come back to it and think about it at another time, and then I don't lose my place in my schedule. I've been listening to Alexander Scorby. Have you ever heard of Alexander? What a wonderful voice, amen. So I'm listening to him through the Bible now, and I'm reading it too. And but I'm stuck, kind of. I'm way behind on my daily Bible reading. And this year I'd gotten to Job, and I had never studied Job. And I thought, this year I'm going to read Job, and I'm going to read a commentary for every chapter I read. And just for personal fulfillment. So anyway, I'm way behind on my Bible reading. If you would please turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And verse 7 again, and we've just been trying in this series to encourage ourselves about this whole matter of winning a crown. I know we have been in Revelation, and we're going to get back there again, but it'll probably be in the new year, because I'm going to try to finish this up in 2 Timothy chapter 4 today, and because I'd like to do something. I'm not a seasonal type of a preacher or teacher. I never did that in my own ministry. But I went to a guy's church one Christmas season when we were visiting my mother in Knoxville. And he preached a message that literally opened my eyes to something about Christmas that I've just never forgotten. It was so blessed. And I'd like to share a little bit of that with you next week if you're able to be here. And then I want to maybe give a lesson on human nature right before the new year, some things we'll see from the Bible. So anyway, listen fast, and I'd like to finish this up, this little part of our lesson today. Verse 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So, we have been looking at these things that we need to do to win this crown. There's a crown, and we can win it if we'll go in Jesus' name. And we saw last week about fighting a good fight. Now, I like these qualifiers in this book. It's a fight. Every one of us has the same fight. It's that fight against the principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this world. That is, by the way, a good fight. And we saw last week some principles about that. And then there is my course, and then there is the faith. And I'd like to talk about those today. And so for us, there is just one fight, one good fight, and that is that fight we talked about last week. And then there is my course, amen, and that is specific to Paul, and it is specific to each one of us. And then there is the faith. There is only one. And for the first one we saw, I have fought. That word encouraged us to be very zealous. It means it's from the Greek word agonizomai, and it means to be very zealous. We saw last week we need to get ourselves stirred up for this fight. The course we need to finish. This indicates that we need patience, perseverance. In what God has for us to do. And then in this last thing we see is I have kept the faith. This is obedience. And so we'll look at these two today. And so each of us has an individual course, very specific to each one of us. And what's encouraging is I don't have to do what Paul did to win a crown. Isn't that good? I don't have to lead 1.5 million people out of the land of Egypt like Moses to get a crown. That was his course, amen? That's not my course. That's his. I don't have to be Peter. I don't have to be all of these great men that we see in the Bible and do all those great works that they did. All I have to do is what God's called me to do. Now, every one of us has gifts, correct? And has talents that God has given us. We see that in Matthew 25, where he says, "For the kingdom of heaven is a man traveling into a far country." This is our Savior who has gone off to heaven, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. He has done that for us. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. And straightway he took his journey. And he's there, and one day he'll come back and we'll give an account of our stewardship, amen? And so each one of these has different abilities. Now, folks, my experience in this Christian life, and I've been saved since 76, so, you know, I've got a little bit of experience. And what I've found is most Christians are not 5-talent Christians. They're as unusual as amazing people in the world, amen? Most Christians are not 2-talent Christians. Most Christians in church are 1-talent Christians. I'm a 1-talent Christian. I'm not one of these 5-talent people. I've never had that kind of ability or opportunity. Just one thing God's given me the ability to do, and all I've got to do is, by the grace of God, use it to the best of my ability. Amen? According to the grace that God has given to me, let every man minister according to the grace. But my experience is that most of us are just like that. Most of us are just 1-talent Christian, and all we have to do is just be faithful with that 1 talent. And God's going to be just as pleased with us as he is with the ones with 5 talents. Do you know what God expects of people with 5 talents? To whom much is given, much is required. Amen? I'm okay with that. If God's blessed them mightily and he's given them great talent, I'm here to tell you, they better produce. Because God's given them more ability than he's given the rest of us. And that's okay. Amen. I'm more than comfortable with that. And so what we want to do today is look at some examples of one talent stuff, just to encourage us, amen, and to show you that God is just as interested in those humble Christians that aren't remarkable, but God can still use them in an amazing way. Now, if you would, let me read this. You turn, if you would, to let me find it here. Exodus chapter 12. And I'll read these to you. But this is very interesting and is illustrative of what we want to look at. Because I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to do all you can. But I've heard preachers say, you know, good ground brings forth 150 and 30 and all these. And I've heard preachers say, you know, you ought to be 100 fruit Christian. Well, folks, that's impossible. Amen? Not all of us are 100 fruit Christians. I've seen trees that, apple trees that have so much fruit on them, it's amazing the limbs can hold them up. I mean, God made them that way, correct? We don't fault the pineapple for producing just one pineapple, do we? That's what God created it to do. Folks, every one of us in here don't have the ability or the opportunity to do those great things hundredfold. Some of us are of more humble gifts and of less opportunity. I'll share some of those with you here in a minute. It says in 1 Kings chapter 4, talking about Solomon, and he said, he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. And he spake of trees, from the cedar tree that is in Lebanon, even unto the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. Have you ever seen pictures of the Wailing Wall and these Hasidic Jews, you know, banging their head up against it with that phylactery and their curls? And can you picture that in your mind, that wall? Have you seen what grows out of that wall on up higher? That's what he's talking about, hyssop that springeth out of the wall. A plant like that. Okay, now, you're already in Exodus chapter 12. I'm going to read 1 Kings chapter 6. So he built the house and finished it and covered the house with beams and boards of cedar. So this wonderful temple was filled with cedar. All of the paneling, the mighty beams like this were all of cedar. God had a wonderful plan in which to use this plant in his kingdom. But notice with me, if you would, in Exodus chapter 12, and I've lost my point. Here we go. It says, and ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out of the door of the house until the morning. Now, folks, there's no use for that hyssop that groweth out of the wall as far as building. You can't even build a fire with it. It has, as far as I know, no usefulness in the economy of man, but God found a use for that humble plant. Now, to me, that's marvelous, because that's most of who we are, amen? Just humble plants, just sprigs that grow out of the wall. And he, in his economy, said, and by the way, do you remember that passage over in the New Testament? It said that we are all one body and have diverse means and have diverse gifts. And to those who are least and the most humble, we give the greatest honor. Correct? Do you remember that? I misquoted it terribly. But that is what we see about this humble hyssop. God has honored this plant that is of no use to anybody. And he said, we'll take this and use it as a means to sprinkle the blood on the offering, on the altar, on the lintels. And he raised it up to a very honorable position. As a matter of fact, I'll read it for you in Psalm chapter 51 and verse 7. David says this, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean." Now, you and I both know that hyssop doesn't clean anybody, right? It's the blood that's on the hyssop. But God overlooked the blood. We take that. We know that by the fact that we know the Bible. It's the blood that cleanses. But what the Holy Spirit has done in that verse, purge me with hyssop, the Holy Spirit has honored the instrument of the blessing. Now, let me tell you something, folks. You and I mostly are just humble Christians, amen? I'm not the mighty man like Brother Herdman. What gifts he has. And the same for Daniel. And the same for Brother Snyder. These are incredible men. And there are incredible men in here that are pillars of the church. But most of us are just hyssop. All we've got to do is find out what God would have us to do and do it to the best of our ability. And God can do marvelous things with us. And he'll honor us in time. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be whiter than snow. Look with me in 2 Kings and chapter 5, if you would. Second Kings chapter 5, verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. Now, I would imagine that her parents were murdered. It was a raid. I would imagine her house was burned. I would imagine that all of her possessions were taken captive. I mean, were looted. This is what the Syrians did. They were rapacious. And it wasn't a blessing to her to be spared from death. She was going to be made a slave or worse. And her master, now think of her, a little maid now. What opportunities does she have to do good? This is literally a piece of hyssop. She has very minimal opportunities. She's a little girl. She's not Elijah. She's not Elisha. She's not the king. She's not the queen. Here is a little maid taken captive. And her master gets leprosy. Now, how many of you and I might have said, I hope he dies of that leprosy? It's easy to get bitter when terrible things happen, correct? It's so easy to be discouraged. All these horrible things and what she had to see and to be dragged away from family and friends and her nation. And now she's a servant to Naaman's wife. But what did she do, folks? And she said unto her mistress, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that's in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. Now, folks, here's just a little sprig of hyssop that has very minimal opportunities, very minimal talents, but she made up her mind that she was going to be a blessing in that situation. I think every one of us can do that, amen? I was flipping through Facebook and the next one that came up, This man walks from off camera, and he's walking like this. And you know how these people are, and I'm not making fun of him either, by the way. And he sits down with a flop, and you know, these people can't talk too good. And to see people like that just wrenches my heart out. And I was almost ready to flip him off, you know, to go to the next one. And he sits down, but I thought, I need to listen to him. And he said, my name is, and he said, I was born with cerebral palsy, and I just want you to know that Jesus Christ is my Savior, and I just love that he made me with this condition because he has taught me so many wonderful things about his grace. He's just a piece of hyssop that found a way. He's on Facebook. And he found a way for God to use him and his testimony for God's glory. I was, the tears start in my eyes even now as I think about that man and his testimony and what God had done to him and for him. Can you imagine his mother when he was drawn from her womb and placed on her bosom? And this is who God had given her. For 9 months, all of her hopes were on this little child, and here he is, cerebral palsy. And don't you know that she, like we talked last week, that the devil shot many a fiery dart into her soul, and she was going to have to dedicate herself to raising this little boy, to trust in Christ, and to believe that the God who made him like that loved him and could use him. He was literally, John chapter 9, a man blind from his birth. And the disciples said, who sinned, this man or his parents? He says, neither one of them sinned, but that God would get glory in his life. And folks, I'm telling you that this man is bringing glory to God. My heart was thrilled that he could say such things from his condition. He loved our Savior. And he was thankful. Reminds us of Brother Gibbs' message, be thankful in all things. He was thankful that God, he said it, I am so thankful that God allowed me to have cerebral palsy. Gosh. Hyssop, amen. Just hyssop. Let me give you another. I got to rush on here. It says, I have kept the faith. Now, this isn't the verb to be trusting in God. To keep the faith is to keep that body of knowledge that we call the faith. In other words, we keep his commandments. It's those things that control, that guide, that govern our life in this faith. And I'm here to tell you that God expects every one of us to keep the faith in all of our circumstances. If you would, turn to Daniel chapter 3, and I'll give these to you real quick. I'm going to read Exodus chapter 20. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. So that is for the Jews and us, the faith. Now notice with me in Daniel chapter 3 and verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if it be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, but if you worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Now let me ask you a question. Do you think they were keeping the faith? That is exactly what it means. I have kept the faith. I have been faithful to God in those things that are to govern my life, and I am going to keep it until he comes to get me. No matter what it might cost me, no matter how dangerous it is, no matter how much it will upset my life. Think of the danger they were in. Think of the courage it took those three men to keep the faith. Now, folks, you and I are cut. These are examples for you and me. This is what it is talking about to keep the faith. When you in your family, whatever that might be, maybe you've got Christian family. I've never had Christian family. Your friends, your neighbors, at work. Of course, most of us don't work anymore, but we went into work and we were required by God to keep the faith at work, no matter what the cost. Amen? It could have cost them their life. Let me give you another example. Look with me in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 19. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation on everybody that takes that mark. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest. Oh, how horrible. Day nor night. Who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Now look at verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep his commandments and the faith of Jesus. Can you imagine, people, what it will cost these believers in the tribulation to keep the faith? Folks, they're going to need patience and courage. Here is the patience. Here are they that keep the commandments of God. They will be under enormous pressure to take that mark, to bow down to that image. They're going to have to be patient for that 7 years, amen, or 3.5, or however many it is until the mid-tribulation rapture happens. You and I'll get caught up before the tribulation, but there's going to be a mid-tribulation rapture too of these wonderful saints that will die instead of take that mark and worship that image and worship that beast. It's going to be so hard that they're going to keep the faith, amen. Now, folks, all I'm trying to do, and this is what we have to do if we're going to get that crown, amen. We are to fight a good fight. We are to finish our course, just little hyssops, every one of us, just finish our course, and we are to keep the faith no matter the danger, no matter the cost, no matter whatever. You and I are required to do that to honor our great Savior. Now, if we do, there is a crown waiting for you and me. Father, thank you so much for these dear people. I pray that every one of us will be faithful to you, that we will keep the faith, no matter if it's a neighbor or a loved one. We will honor God, and we will do what's right by this book. We will keep your commandments, no matter what it might bring upon our life. What we want in this room is to have a better resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, folks.